welcome to Media Review Pod, a variety podcast of discussions, opinions, and interviews focusing on the entertainment side of media. My name is Richard Santiago, and I know what everyone's thinking right now. Where the hell have you been? Well, let me tell you. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna hold that off for another time. Suffice to say, I'm back. And I don't know if you remember this film that came out back in the summer of 2023. The Little Mermaid, the live-action remake. Yeah, well, I got together with my buddies at the podcast Chichando, and we talked about it. The good and the bad. Now, I would like to apologize beforehand, because unfortunately, I couldn't record this episode in my studio. So I had to rely on bed sheets and terrible acoustics to get this done. So, without any further ado, please enjoy our discussion of The Little Mermaid 2023.
Are two of my great banter buddies from the podcast Chichando, Adolfis and Giovanoski. Welcome back to the podcast. It's been way too long.
That's correct. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. What about you, Giovanoski?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Thank you for asking us.
All right. So, guys, today we're going to be talking about Disney's newest musical. Mm-hmm. Although, is it a musical?
Yeah.
It's a live action adaptation. And this is live action with big quotes, right? About the classic animated movie, The Little Mermaid. So, guys, I know you are well-versed in musicals and everything that entails musical stuff. So it's very unlike me. And I am going to rely on you guys for some of the questions that I have regarding this movie. This was written by David
David Maggie Smith.
David.
I'm sorry, Dave. And it was directed by Rob Marshall with music by Howard Ashman, Alan Menken, and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes.
Okay, guys, so this movie clocks in at what, 2 hours and 15 minutes versus, half of that for the original? So what did you guys
It's think? Like 45 minutes more.
Wait, without any spoilers, what did you guys think about this movie?
Well, I enjoyed the movie. I didn't got bored in any part.
Mm-hmm.
I like most of the new songs, mm-hmm. and the acting was very good.
Okay.
Yes, I got to see it first because we were invited to a special screening, mm-hmm. so I really enjoyed it. And there was a difference the first time I saw it with like an audience full of critics versus when I saw it yesterday again with an audience full of fans. It was completely different experience. Like yesterday, people were clapping, they were enjoying themselves, they were laughing, and the critics, I remember, they were okay. And when it was over, some were like, ugh, I didn't like it, or some were like this and like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, I really enjoyed it. I never had a problem with the cast and all the controversy. So I went in very, not with high expectations, but with good expectations that I knew I was going to be entertained.
Yeah.
And I was, and I know we'll talk about the comparisons between other Disney live actions, Beauty and the Beast, later. But yeah, I really enjoyed this one a lot.
All right. Well, I went with my kids. I have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old, and I could see that this movie was probably not for them. Because they started getting a little bit fidgety. Also, they're boys, so
yeah,
you know, they're a little bit biased with princess stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I also went with my two nieces, and they are 4 years old, both of them, and they loved it. One of them was watching it for the second time. And right now, all they talk about is The Little Mermaid, mm-hmm. and they want to do charades, and they're doing the mermaid thing. And so, yeah, so they're into princesses, they're into Little Mermaid, they loved it. Well, you guys know my feelings toward these live, quote unquote, live action remakes. I feel like they are unnecessary, especially if they don't bring anything new like the Lion King remake. This particular remake, I thought, was fine. It was probably what I expected. I wasn't one of those detractors, or I wasn't into the whole negative vibe for this movie. I was up for the movie to be entertaining, and yeah, at certain points it was. I did feel its length. It was probably 15 to 20 minutes too long for my taste. And I think I really enjoyed, like you said, the acting, and the renditions of most of the songs, but there were many places in this movie where I felt that it was made for people who knew the story already. If you came into this movie, and this is me thinking out loud, if you came into this movie probably blind, without watching the original, you would be kind of lost at certain points, especially in the beginning, because they do expand on some things, and we'll get into that later on. But then they cut other stuff that, for me, was essential to the original movie. And that was my biggest letdown. But I think her acting, what's her name? Halle Bailey.
Yeah,
I think she was fantastic. I think she was great. She was the best part of this movie. She has these Disney eyes, these wide-eyed, innocent eyes. They're very captivating. Her voice is amazing. So, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it as much as I thought I would. It wasn't a slam dunk. And like these other Disney movies, unfortunately, I think it was a waste of time. Not money-wise, but for me, visually, it didn't bring anything new. So, yeah, it's unnecessary for me. That's basically it. Any rebuttals before we get into spoilers?
Well, no, I kind of feel you, because, yes, it's almost shot by shot. Like, some scenes were exactly shot by shot, especially the climax, everything leading up to it. Mm-hmm. I thought we could extend it more. I could have watched it if it was 3 hours, you know. I could have watched it longer. To me, it was too short.
Wow.
I was really in the world. I was liking everything I saw. I wanted more songs, you know. But I kind of feel what you're saying, because for me, the best live action was Jungle Book, because it wasn't exactly the same thing. Mm. It was the characters, it was the setting, but it was changed up a little bit, that I was seeing something completely new.
Yeah.
And I want to see kind of that with this. The thing is that all the 90s ones, you know, the Disney Renaissance era and The Mermaid 89, but I put in the same catalog. They try to be so faithful because people have it so ingrained in their minds, because they're so quote unquote recent that they don't want to differ from that. Mm-hmm. Versus all the classics, they take more liberties, and I wish they would have taken more liberties.
Yeah.
But having said that, I really enjoyed it.
Right, and the thing about Jungle Book also, it doesn't pretend to be a musical. It has some musical numbers, but It comes organically, but it doesn't. The original is a musical, but that remake is. It tells the story without being bogged down by the whole musical aspect of it, and I think that was a good choice.
I was missing a lot of songs because I grew up with Disney sing-alongs. I grew up with musical theater.
But for example, when I first saw Cinderella the remake, that was one of my critiques, that there weren't any of the cool songs that I grew up listening to.
Yeah.
Because that was probably my first VHS.
Okay.
The original Cinderella. So I know those songs forwards and backwards. And when I saw the remake, my critique was, well, I missed my songs. For me, those were my favorite parts. However, after I watched it several times again, I kind of, I get what they were doing by doing this other version of this movie, by taking the iconographic aspect of it, the visuals of it, but telling us the same story in a different way. I learned to enjoy that later on.
It all depends on the kind of remake that you want to make. Mm-hmm. Do you want to make, do you want to retell the same story, or do you want to take the previous movie and turn it into live action? So it all depends. Mm-hmm.
The thing is, in the case of Cinderella, there are lots of variation. There are a lot of Cinderella movies. Mm-hmm. So one thing that makes the Disney one so unique is the songs. Because if I remember from the documentary, that was the first time they hired like really pop artists to a soundtrack. And I'm talking to the animated classic, I'm talking about that one. And even the soundtrack became a hit because of that. Because before that, they had Snow White, and I don't remember the Bambi that didn't have any songs and stuff like that. And they said, like, one of the things that makes us unique is the song. So I kind of missed that in the live adaptation because of all the other Cinderellas, that makes this thing one so unique.
All right, guys, let's get into spoilers for this movie starting right now. Okay. So I'm gonna keep harping on this, but I have very big issues with these quote unquote live adaptations where they make animals kind of look real. And it bothers me so much because you take a character like Flounder, who in the animated movie looks nothing like a flounder. And in this movie they actually make a flounder. Flounder. It's like if you take a Sebastian, and instead of him being Sebastian, he's Crab. His name is Crab, right? Mm-hmm. So Flounder is a flounder. And out of all the fish, a flounder is ugly. It's an ugly fish. I mean, visually, it's not very appealing. But they take so much care of making these animals look real that they forsake or they just erase all the emotion out of them, because real animals don't have emotion in their eyes. And I think that's a very, very big missed opportunity. I felt this way with The Lion King, if you guys remember when we talked about that. And I have the same issues. They were able to kind of pull out something out of Sebastian because of the nature of his eyes that kind of pop out and they can actually move places, right? But every other animal, it's like, it's an animal. So let's start there. What did you guys think about that?
Yeah, I had the same issue before going to see the movie. When I saw the promotional art And also, I remember what happened with The Lion King, where we discussed that when you make them look so real, you lose some of the freedom that you can take when you're doing a cartoon or helping with the facial aspects and you to create those emotions. So I was a little afraid of the character design. And it also happened with Beauty and the Beast. I don't like how the characters and those are not animals.
Yeah.
But I don't like how Lumiere looks so before going to the movie, I began to think that I wasn't going to like it. But once the movie started, I got involved with the story. And I forgot about it completely. I had no problem with the character design for this movie.
Okay, good. What about you,
Chibano? Yeah, like Adolfi said, the first taste we got was in Beauty and the Beast. Like, that really changed from the original animated ones, especially Lumiere. But we kind of got used to it. The thing is that it's more practical because in the case of Lumiere, his face was in the candle, so the candles could melt. The thing is that, yeah, they had magic, so he will never melt and all the stuff. So, but in the movie, they try to be more practical and Mrs. Potts being the face being like it to the side instead of the beak being the nose mm-hmm. and stuff. So we kind of got used to it. So I knew in The Little Mermaid when I saw the character Sebastian more than Flounder was the real. Like the key difference for me, I was like, whoa, do I really like this? I remember Adolphe like gave me a photo that was leaked. And I was like, that's not real. That looks like kind of like when other countries try to remake Disney uh-huh. stuff, yeah, you know, yeah. like very great value stuff. I thought that was, and then.
The Nucci Pandel movie.
Exactly. That when weeks later, it was revealed that was Sebastian. I was like, ooh. okay so choices. Yeah, maybe, exactly, they do that kind of stuff so people will get accustomed to it. You know, they do it too in Marvel and DC. When the first Joaquin Phoenix Joker came out, people criticized it like, no, they don't like this, they don't like that, or Harley Quinn version from the Suicide Squad mm-hmm. but then it got people like, okay, so when the movie comes out, that's what we're gonna see, right. So it kind of helps mm-hmm. I think it kind of helps here. When you said Lion King, I really didn't like it like that because, as like you said, there wasn't any emotion in the animals. And the songs are so expressive that when you see Hakuna Matata, mm-hmm. wow, no, I just want to hear the soundtrack. I don't want to see it because there's nothing to see. Yeah. The animals aren't emoting. They try to make it so real that it loses the fantasy of it. Mm-hmm. So... But in Little Mermaid, I really didn't have a problem with Flounder or Sebastian. Like, I was like, okay, that's it. So it's okay.
All right. I understand your point of view. Also, just watching those stills out of context is that's very different. That's, you know, sometimes promotional stuff just, at least for me, they kind of ruin the whole thing. So, guys, this movie started without the song
from the ship. That.
And the first song doesn't come in until 20 minutes into the movie.
Oof. I hate that.
Is this movie still considered a musical?
Yes, but like you said, I had a really big issue with that because if you know the Broadway structure, especially for a movie musical, uh-huh. you need to start with a song in the first 5 minutes to let the audience know this is a musical so they can get out of the theater like they did when I saw Sweeney Todd and Les Miserables. Like, people left the theater when they said they thought they knew they was a musical. So, I mean, people that were going to see Little Mermaid, they already know what Little Mermaid is. Uh-huh. And the promotional has the song. So they kind of know. But I mean, my partner haven't watched the original. He hasn't seen any Disney songs and movies.
Yeah.
And when I said it's a musical, he was like, a musical? He doesn't like musicals. Mm. So yeah, I'm like, yes. Didn't you see the first one? No. I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah, I have a big problem for not starting with the song, even though it's not a good song or not a memorable mm-hmm, song, mm-hmm. but it still helps. To, you know, set the move that this is a musical and it's not like Cinderella or Mulan. Right.
Look, let's just think about this. They don't put this song in the beginning, which is fine. Okay? But that song lasts what? Like 2 minutes, 3 minutes? Mm-hmm. That's fine.
It's her song.
That's fine. But here's my big, big, big beef with this movie. At least for me, the theme of the voice is the most important part of the original movie. And in this movie, the voice is just an afterthought. In the original, we get lines like, especially My Little Ariel, right? Talking about she's the great singer, right? And Sebastian says, yes, she has the most beautiful voice. And we mm-hmm. also get the line, if she'd only show up for rehearsals once in a while, which tells us she's being irresponsible. She's a young kid, right? She sings beautifully. In this movie, we don't know any of that. There's no mm-hmm. concert. There's no preamble to her voice. We hear her sing Part of This World, yes. And mm-hmm. it's fantastic and it's great. And then when the witch asks her for her voice, it's okay, all right. What's so big, what's so important about this voice, right? In the movie, the voice was the most important thing. And mm-hmm. when the witch asks her, the only price is going to be your voice, she goes, well, without my voice, I'm not going to be able to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all the
you got your looks.
Yeah, but before, pretty she face. Doesn't even say anything, and we already know what it is that she means, right?
Yeah.
Right, that Ursula later completes, yeah, you'll have your pretty face, and don't forget about the
body language. Yeah. I mean, they cut that from
yeah.
this one.
Yeah, unfortunately, also, it was one of the greatest lines of that movie, and they cut it.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. So when that scene happens, and Ursula asks her for her voice, for me, it was just like an afterthought. It's, the voice isn't that important, right? And the fact that her voice is later in that shell, and there's this whole unsaid magic to the voice that ties it to the fact that the movie is also a musical. And I thought that was completely lacking in this movie. I felt that there
but
was...
But didn't...
Yeah, go ahead.
But didn't they give credit to Ariel's voice for bringing back to life, in a way, Prince Eric? I remember like a scene where Ursula says that I'm going to take your voice because the voice was the reason why Prince Eric came back to life. In a way.
All right, fine.
It really doesn't matter.
Fine.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. let's suppose that they say that. Fine. However, it doesn't. It still for me, it doesn't feel like the voice has the weight that it should have.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I kind of see what, and I didn't thought about that even until you said it, that is true, that in the animated one, they put a lot of emphasis of people around her saying that she has a great voice, mm-hmm. and I missed the concert, I missed the sister's song too, because I know it, but I think in this movie, they just said, put more emphasis in the siren song, because in the beginning when the pirate not pirates, you know, the
ship guys, the people
in the yeah, ship yeah. guys, yeah, they
the sailors,
told the legends
the sailors
yeah, they said the legend of the sirens, so they know that a siren's voice
yeah,
a song
yeah, and that,
lures them to their death.
And I guess yes if they were to take the whole siren thing, the sirens use their voice to lure sailors to their death or whatever, if they were to use that and segue into showing us a different side of it, not that the siren song is deadly or anything like that, but that there is such a thing as a siren song, and who better to express this than Ariel, who has the most beautiful voice, something like that, you know, that's probably the shitty version of it, but you guys get what I'm saying, right?
Yes, yes.
So that for me was what was missing a lot. And if we stay here in the beginning, right? We don't have the sailor song, we don't have the concert. And that's another big issue for me, because when we enter this kingdom, did you guys feel like you were in a kingdom?
No,
because there's hardly anybody there. All we see is King Triton and the sisters
and like two guards or something like that.
A guy here and a guy there and the crab. Right?
Yeah.
So it just felt so empty. And this is the king of the oceans, right? And
yeah.
There's nobody there. It's like watching Game of Thrones, but every scene is in the throne room. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think I have a theory about this movie, and it's when like you said, the whole Atlantis of it all, mm-hmm. the kingdom, and why they changed Ariel's skin tone. I think because Aquaman came first, and it was such a hit, and it was an underwater movie, and people like a lot of people, that's their mind when they come when they think of these certain things. About mer people and the kingdom, they didn't want to duplicate that. They didn't want to do like they were copying this movie. So I think they took the other route. First, changing the principal characters, because I think a live action version of the animated Ariel will look a lot like Mera. Like, she has the really bright red hair.
Yeah.
Her, she's very white. She has the green suit.
Uh-huh.
So I think a live action will look too similarly. And I think the kingdom is the same thing, because they're both Atlantis. They're supposed to be Atlantis. So I think they went to the more realistic.
So I get what you're saying. I understand that point of view, and that's totally fine. However, I think that The Little Mermaid is a very well-known IP. If they were to stick to the original, I don't think people would have any issues with that. But that's the thing, that it doesn't feel like a kingdom, really kind of bothered me, especially because they're trying to lean into this whole live action thing, like real thing. And it just didn't feel like a real kingdom.
It's true.
Maybe Ursula killed them all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, she destroyed
they're
everything.
They're probably all prawns, right? Maybe.
exactly.
And then, okay, so sticking with that, that there were barely any people in the kingdom, then the ending comes, right? And all of a sudden, we have a bunch of people just swimming up to the surface, and then the humans don't even react, right? So we're to guess that these people were there when Ursula came, and then they're fine with it, right? It just didn't make any. I want to curse.
The thing is that in this movie, like the humans know that merpeople exist. Like, it's not fairy tale, it's not folklore. Like, they really say that. Even the queen, the Prince Eric's mother, said, like, oh, she's a sea creature, and she knows that sea creatures took the, and even the sailors say about the thing, the legend. So they know. So that, I don't think that's why they are, like, very surprised about it. Yeah. I get what you're saying, but I think in the context of this movie, they're not surprised, because it's not like in Game of Thrones that even though magic exists, people are like, no, they're not dragons, they aren't witches. In here, they kind of know.
Yeah,
especially them.
I believe the ending was a little bit rushed, but that part didn't shock me.
Okay.
But I understand what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the thing is that, yes, in the parts when the king is trying to speak with his daughters and stuff, you can see some merpeople floating by. Like, you can kind of see it, but there aren't a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's true what you said, that it doesn't feel like a kingdom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The concert was necessary.
Right. So I don't want to be... the negative Nancy guy here, so I do want to
point. Oh, you already are.
I do want to point out several things that I liked about the movie, starting with Hailey Bailey's interpretation of Ariel. I think she was fantastic. Even at moments where I totally knew that she was surrounded by green screen or in the volume or whatever, she was great. I really liked her. I really liked the second reprise of Part of This World when she I think it's after she learns that Eric is engaged and she goes to the, to the rock, and I think, like, that's a really good it's a really good place to put new music.
Yeah.
And that little section really worked for me. And then every scene where she doesn't speak, where it's just her trying to communicate with motion, with her hands, with her face, all of that all of that works. All of that works really, really well.
Body language.
Yeah, her body language, absolutely. I also liked that they gave Eric a little bit more meat to that bone, because in the original story, there's barely anything there.
Mm-hmm.
It feels more like a character. It feels more real.
Yeah. Even though that in the animated one, Prince Eric has more development than Disney's previous princess, because Prince Philip from the Sleeping Beauty and even Prince Charming from Snow White, they have no character mm-hmm. development. Like mm-hmm. they're just mm-hmm. there. So in the animated one, Prince Eric has more lines, mm-hmm. has kind of a backstory. But yeah, in this live action, they really try to make it a full mm-hmm. character.
I wasn't a fan of his song. It was okay. It wasn't terrible. But I do agree that it does give him more depth. And given that this is supposed to be a musical, I understand why they added that song. Mm-hmm. Because if I understand correctly, many times songs come on is for the character to express something so that the audience understands something else that's going on in the story, right?
Exactly. Yeah, because the emotion is so strong that words aren't enough.
Right. Yeah.
And you need to sing.
And yeah. so just from that point of view, I think that the song works.
Yeah.
As far as the melody goes,
it's very the thing is, it's very classical. It's very Andrew Lloyd Webber-y, uh-huh. very fandom, like very classic musical. So I understand. Like a lot of people say that. Like they say, oh, it's fine. I didn't like it. I didn't hate it. They said, yeah, I didn't hate. I hate it. But people were like, okay, I understand mm-hmm. it. Like I didn't mind it. I think, and it's also a very difficult song to sing because it's very high. Mm-hmm. But I kind of liked it.
Yeah,
I get what people are saying.
Okay.
It's a high song, but I felt that his voice was deep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And maybe they
clashed a bit.
They clashed. Yeah. That's the problem that I had with that song. Mm. I enjoyed the song, but I didn't like the way it was sang.
Okay.
So maybe that's why.
Okay, I get it. I get it. And
go ahead. I think it was very raw when I watched the second time, like it almost feels live. Uh-huh. It just doesn't feel like a song from a studio.
Well, okay.
It felt live present. It's very raw.
Out of all the songs, I think this is the one that feels more like a Broadway musical.
Yeah.
Especially the staging of it.
Uh-huh.
It feels more, like I'm at the ledge of a precipice and I'm singing to the air, and then I go on exactly. the ship and I'm on the mast and I'm singing from the mast, that type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And his acting was also very Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he was the most expressive of all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So wasn't terrible. And I think he, as an actor, he did a really good job. Mm-hmm. What was the other thing? Oh, the reversal at the end, where it's Ariel who eventually gives Ursula the final blow. I think that was also really good. Because it is her story, in essence, right? And
yeah.
it gives her more agency. In the original, it feels like she's still the damsel in distress. And then...
Exactly, yeah. waiting for the prince.
Right, right. So I liked it. I liked it. I think it's a good change. It doesn't change the spirit of what the mm-hmm. story is. So I...
And the thing is, it doesn't take away from Prince Eric or emasculate him, because he tried to defend her, to fight for her. He was there, like, and she
it's
told his father
end.
That. Yeah, and then she told his father that, like, Eric helped so he could, his father could see, like, not all humans are bad.
Mm-hmm. 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 So,
we embrace that change.
Yes, yes. I also liked his relationship to Grimsby,
mm-hmm.
which was also, there was a little bit more meat there as well. His relationship
yes.
to his mother. And all of that was fine. It's just other areas where I think they were cutting too much that I was kind of a little bit down on that.
And
go ahead.
A very important change that they made Prince Eric be adopted. Like he was
right.
Washed ashore from a shipwreck
mm-hmm.
and they took him in.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So guys, I want to get into a very delicate subject right now, and that is the Lin-Manuel Miranda of it all.
I knew it. The song.
Because... I respect this guy so much. I think he's a genius. I love his music. And to some extent, I'm always excited whenever I hear his name and whenever I know that he's involved in a project. Mm-hmm. However, in this movie, given that this movie has been in my childhood forever, and these songs have been ingrained in my brain for so long, to me, his music felt like it just stuck out like a sore thumb. And I wasn't a fan of the whole scuttlebutt thing of it all. It was just, it felt like from another thing. I'm not saying that the song was bad. It just didn't fit with, like we said before, with the spirit of The Little Mermaid. What do you guys think?
Okay, the thing is, yeah, the first time I watched it, that song stuck out. Like you said, it didn't feel from this movie. So that is true. But when I saw it yesterday for the second time mm-hmm. with a Puerto Rican audience yeah. that like reggaeton and rap, everybody started to clap and laugh. Yo, yeah, yeah. Like, really? When they started rapping, when Sebastian got in on it, people were all freaking out in a positive way. And I was like, whoa, because when I saw it with the critics audience, yeah. it was completely different because people here hate Lin-Manuel Miranda. Like, even the critics think, yeah, really? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So mm-hmm. when that song came, they were all like, oh. So, yeah, it was a completely different experience with a Puerto Rican audience because they were really in on that song. Mm. I don't know, Adolfi, when you watched it, you saw it on Thursday. But yesterday, like, I was really surprised. I was like, oh, wow, that's good. I didn't see it like that.
Okay, and don't you think that the audience was mocking?
Nope.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, you really feel that they enjoy this song?
They were rapping like it was a reggaeton beat bomb, yeah.
Okay, well, when I saw it, only one person laughed with the lyrics. Mm-hmm. From that song, but there wasn't a big reaction from the rest of the audience. Even though the audience applaud on many, when most of yeah. the classical songs mm-hmm. Ended. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lin-Manuel Miranda had a big task in this movie because also you have to write some songs to make them feel like they belong to this 30 whatever plus movie. And the other two songs that were written for this movie, I believe they worked. You know, we had the Prince Eric song mm-hmm. and the For the First Time in Forever.
No, that's not the Frozen one. I that's my favorite song, like yeah. For the First Time. I really like that song. I keep singing it.
It's a very good song.
The sky and the sun and the sand and the sea.
It's a very good song, and it has that Moana maybe quality.
Yeah,
a Caribbean.
Speaking of that song, by the way, I think that was a very original way of incorporating a new song.
For Ariel.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially because at that point she can't speak, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the way that they were able to put it in, it's fantastic. I really, really, really like that one.
But the Scuttlebutt song.
By the way, did you guys see my name?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I always look forward to seeing your name in this podcast, and it did not disappoint.
All right.
I got the scuttlebutt. But...
Keep going.
It reminds me a little bit of like the Morning Report.
Yeah.
So from The Lion King.
Yeah.
But it felt a little bit out of place. Also, I don't like Awkwafina's pitch.
Oh my god! Pitch. But I thought it worked for this song. Like she really. It's like Iago. You know, like Iago's voice is not uh-huh. good, but it works for his song. He has a song in Lion King 2 that I really like. Like, you know, what's the Aladdin 2? Aladdin. I'm sorry. that it really works. So I really enjoyed Awkwafina's. I know she has that voice. That's what she was cast in Scuttle. But it worked. And I love her rendition in Kiss the Girl. You gotta kiss the girl.
She's hilarious. I'm not saying anything against the actress. You know, she was hilarious and she ad-libbed a lot of things.
Yeah.
But her pitch, you know, the voice and that song.
Yeah, I get it.
With the rap and all the lyrics.
Your age is showing, you haters.
No, but it's okay. I don't like rap. I don't like hip hop. You know, the songs that I enjoy from Lin-Manuel Miranda's earlier works, you know, they are non-hip hop songs in The Heights, in Hamilton.
Those are the ones that I enjoy. Yeah, the one you sung when you did it.
So yeah, I think I've said my piece about Awkwafina in previous podcasts. So I'm not gonna repeat it here again. Just wanted to say that song wasn't my favorite. And yeah, that's it. I agree with you, Alorfis. Okay, so speaking of songs, let's talk a little bit about Under the Sea, because this was the song that won the Oscar, right, for The Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. And what's his name?
Davin Briggs.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He had very big shoes to fill.
David Diggs,
yes. And all in all, I think his interpretation of the song was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My issue with this song is, one, the staging. Okay. Mm. And two, the fact that Ariel starts singing in the song, which makes absolutely no sense.
Are those the only two things that you...
Yeah, yeah. Other than...
I have a third one.
Okay, all right. What is it?
I have a third. They kept the lyrics for the bass playing the bass. And we don't see any of the features playing the instruments. Yeah. And I understand, you know, this is... They don't do it in real life. But you could have changed that at least. Change the lyrics.
Okay. So
no, not change the lyrics. So the lyrics are great.
Well, show it then. The fish on the plate and the
okay.
So, and the fish singing.
You guys are too close with the animated one.
No, look.
Go watch the animated one.
I'm trying very hard to separate my thinking from the original, okay? Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying, Adolfis, but it goes hand in hand with the staging, okay?
Yeah, and okay.
So for me, what bothers me about the staging is that in the first, I don't know, three quarters of the song, it feels so empty. And nothing that he's singing meshes with what he's saying. Because he's basically explaining to her, this is why the ocean is so awesome, right? But all we see is the crab doing this, you know, singing and maybe jumping from rock to rock, and then her just swimming with him, and then she starts singing with him. She's harmonizing with him. The point of the song is to convince her, and then she starts singing with him. Which gives me the impression that she's getting it. She's into this. Mm-hmm. She likes it. Yeah, of course. And then at the end, she disappears. And we go, wait, what?
Yeah. But in the animated one, she also got into the song.
Yeah, but she doesn't sing at all. She gets lured in by everything that's surrounding her. And yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Fine. Do that in this one. But let's separate ourselves from the original, right? She doesn't make a real attempt to leave the situation. Which is what she wants to do, right? All she does is harmonize with him.
Follow along.
And at that, again, I'm not really well versed in musicals, but it's given me mixed signals because it's the subtext is what you're singing about. I kind of dig, so I'm singing along with you, and I'm gonna stay here and dance with you and all that stuff. And then by the end, she leaves, and we go, wait, what? She leaves why? Because that's what happens in the original, not because the story that you were telling me visually in this particular movie leads me to believe that she's gonna leave. That's my issue with this whole number and staging and all of that.
And you're right. Like, from a story perspective, you're absolutely right. Like, she's supposed to be lured in. And even in the animated one, she leaves because Flounder says, like, he found the statue.
Yeah.
The statue. Yeah. But it doesn't happen here. So she has a reason to live.
Uh-huh.
But here, she doesn't. But from an original and different take point of view and from a hearing perspective, uh-huh, I like the harmonizing. And they do that a lot.
Yeah.
Because in Aladdin, in A Whole New World, like, they gave Aladdin harmonizing when Princess Jasmine is singing. And in Simba's Just Can't Wait to Be a King, they gave Nala also verses so that she harmonizes with him. So when I saw it in this movie, or heard it in this movie, I really liked that. I didn't think, like, oh, it doesn't make sense story-wise. I was like, yeah, use her. You got an actor that sings, unlike Beauty and the Beast, so take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And even in Kiss the Girl, when Flounder and Scuttle start singing, that it works for me, and I like that layer of song.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But that's my take.
I get it from
a musical perspective.
Because it sounds nice. That's all fine. Mm-hmm, I get mm-hmm. it. I get that. It just makes. I'm sorry, but I'll probably bleep this out. But it just makes no f-ing sense to me. Okay? Seriously.
Yeah. And the number looks pretty, but it felt dull.
Yeah, by the end, it looks mm-hmm. amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the end.
Yeah, by the end.
And the way it ends, right. 10.
But, yeah. Like I said, the first three quarters of it, it's empty. There's nothing really going on.
Yeah, the Broadway musical version did it better.
Wow. Okay, so Jovanovski, you mentioned something that we haven't mentioned at all.
The statue.
Let's talk a little bit about that statue.
Yeah, that looked nothing like him.
First of all, if I go and see this movie for the first time, do I even know what that statue is?
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Do you even have an inkling of the importance that it has to Ariel when it blows up? No.
Yeah.
You know, things like those that they cut from the original story that would have made more sense to keep them just to give us a little bit more context of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm saying it from a story perspective because, you know,
But
go ahead.
It makes sense. In the original, I was like, how did Flounder took that statue and put it in her trove?
It fell.
You know, her treasure trove. Oh, it fell exactly there. Yeah.
Well, that ship exploded right on top of him, right? So,
exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Whatever.
But in this one, however, she's the one who.
Okay. Okay. Oh, whatever. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just saying that in this one, it makes sense that she found it and put it there. I'm just saying that.
I don't know, man. Okay. All right. Cool. Cool.
Okay, Scottle. Me.
So about Kiss the Girl. The whole point of her forgetting that she had to kiss him, I think, was a really good twist to.
Spicy.
Yeah, it's a really good twist of what originally happened, and so it gives. Scuttle and Flounder and Sebastian more agency to make this song, right? It's not just singing the song Kiss the Girl so then maybe Eric will kiss him or kiss her, but to actually plant the idea in him because she's not going to do it.
Inception.
Yes, exactly.
And more importantly, with consent.
Exactly, right. Because they changed the lyrics.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's dig a little bit into that. What did you guys think about these changes that they made to make the movie a little bit more palatable to modern audiences?
I embrace change. Mm-hmm. I always say that movies are a reflection on what's happening to society mm-hmm. and the time that they are being. So it's kind of like film history, yep. You know? So, yeah, 30 years, right? Plus 30 plus mm-hmm, years mm-hmm. has passed. they are bound to change some things. Mm-hmm. And consent is very part of it right after the Me Too movement and a lot of things happening on the Hollywood industry and even just in jobs in general,
yeah.
because it's still happened to a family and an aunt of mine too. So yeah, so that stuff is really very important for little girls and little boys to hear for the first time when they're growing up. So they have an ingrained that consent is important. So I welcome the change. And that's why we talk about body language that, yeah, it was a very memorable quote from the original. But it also, that whole section of Ursula, it's very sexist and very, very, how do you say it, when male version, you know, machista, you know, so yeah, so chauvinistic. So they had to cut that out because it's saying like, women can't be heard. They just trying to be seen, you know, the only if you have boobs and waist and look a certain type. You're good enough for society, so that's not a good message. So yeah, I embrace change,
and it's also an issue that doesn't change the story. You know, we're gonna place this so we don't get criticized, like when the Super Mario movie came out. You know, they were saying a lot of things that, oh, Bowser is so machista, a lot chauvinistic. So it's a good change. And it really doesn't change the storyline. You know, it doesn't affect.
Yeah, but and in that movie they also changed Peach because Peach is not a damsel in distress.
Also,
because she fought back. You know, she had ideas, she had a plan.
Yep.
Even though Mario helped, so they were more like a team. So it that's also embracing change from the original part.
Yep.
And it was well written, and well done.
You know, the other thing that I liked was the fact that they incorporated some of the Caribbean music to...
And they confirmed, because in the map, when they are in the below the surface world, and Sebastian is there, and she's talking to Prince Eric, they confirmed that it's from an island on the Caribbean. So it kind of helps you with the thing that why the music is so Caribbean, the clothes, and even Ariel being that skin tone and stuff.
Yep.
And that was something I said about the original when they cast Halle Bailey, that many people say, no, the story is a Nordic story. And blah, blah, blah. I'm like saying, yeah, but the animated one, they took influences from the Caribbean. And they were like, no, but I really couldn't find, because I watched a lot of making of stuff. I really couldn't find where I heard that.
Yeah.
So it's cool that this movie confirmed it for all the haters. But at the same time, I didn't like the clothes in this movie. I'm a very fashion guy.
Okay.
And I really didn't like her, you know, the interpretation of her clothes. Yes, I understand that they want to give it that like kind of like Spanish and Caribbean feel, but it's not memorable. It's not pretty. You know, the blue dress and the pink one at the end, it doesn't look good to me. You know, it's not very cosplayable. Like, yeah, you're gonna look like her from the movie, but it doesn't say anything. And I really didn't like her pink bandana in the end, where she doesn't have it, she only has her hair and the blue dress. She looks better. And even in the park, the Disney parks, she doesn't have the bandana. She has like kind of like a cool wave and something, her hair, coral in her hair, that looks much better than the movie version. So I'm like, I didn't like that. There was also controversy in the makeup artist, Ursula's one, that it really doesn't look good. Like, drag queens can do a better job doing Ursula's makeup than the one that they hire. So for me, and the costume design and the makeup, nope, I didn't like it at all.
Well, that also goes to the director. I mean, because he's the one that approves everything in the end. Right?
Exactly. They could have helped Ariel too. Like, you know that she was having a lot of backlash. So, you know, make her pretty. You don't have to do extensive makeup, but they barely did anything to her. And that would have helped. And even in the hair, okay, keep it dreadlocks, but do something cool, like a wave or something, so that she looks more appealing. You know, help her.
Well, I think she looks great. I agree that probably the fashion was iffy. But I think visually my biggest thing with this movie is probably the cinematography. It was just the same issue that I had with Beauty and the Beast. It's just so dark. Mm. There are many, many scenes that are just drab and they don't pop out as much. Especially anything that has to do with Ursula. It's just, mm-hmm. you can barely see her when she's on screen.
But I kind of like that because it contrasts with her glowing tentacles and her glowing potions and stuff. So it to me, it looked really cool. All
right. I think this is a good place to end it. What are your social media contacts? How can people get to know more about Chichando and your podcast?
Well, you can find us on Instagram. I am Adolphis02.
And I am Jovanovski02. But also in Chichando, in all of our social networks, you know, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
All right. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Media Review Pod. You can send emails with questions, comments, suggestions to MediaReviewPod@gmail.com. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really enjoy our chats, and this one wasn't any different. I always value your input regarding musicals and any other aspect of filmmaking. So you guys are more than welcome to come back here and chat with me. Not chit-chando, but chat with me on my podcast.
Exactly. Chit-chat. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
My pleasure. And to everybody out there, if you ever find yourself making a deal with AC Witch, first, don't. But then take your newfound legs and muster all of Ariel's strength to swim up to the surface and breathe. Till next time, have a good one. Bye-bye.